I don't know if you've ever had the thought that I have had, why can't I stop doing things? Or why do I keep finding myself in this pattern? Why do I have such a desire to be consistent, but practically, I just struggle with it? I go really good for a week or two or a month or 6 months, and then for whatever reason, I just fall back in to that pattern or to that sin or to that bad decision. There's a desire, but then I just can't quite get there. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 had that exact same feeling. He said, and we don't have it on the screens today, but Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I hate, those are the things that I do. And the reason that we all have that, myself included, is the idea of self-control. And that's the last of the fruits of the Spirit. That's what we've been talking about over the course of this series. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's not the law is not against these things. And all of these fruits are not about willpower. It's not about self-improvement. What we've been trying to say in this whole series is just as we walk with God, as we stay connected to Him, He develops those things in our life. We have a part to play, but our part is not to white knuckle it and to try really hard. Our part is just to stay, I want to stay connected to God. And slowly over time, we begin to reflect what He has done in our life. And we begin to reflect more and more the image of Jesus. And so today we're going to talk about self-control, something that I think all of us could grow in, something that I think all of us could use more of. And here's why I think it's important for all of us is that self-control protects what we value the most. Everything that you value, everything that you think is the most important to you, hangs on your decision whether I will be controlled or not. The things that you hold in the highest regard, the health of those, hang in the balance of whether you will exercise the gift of self-control. The Proverbs, Solomon said it this way, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. I want you to imagine an ancient city without any walls. What is it? It's not keeping people in. It's making sure that we're not vulnerable. It's saying we know that there's some precious things inside, and so I'm going to build up some walls so that I can protect what I value the most. Sometimes we think about self-control as it's a prison. It keeps me hemmed in. It keeps me from enjoying things. I shouldn't do that, but self-control really, it's protection. Self-control helps us to protect the things that I value the most. It's not about restricting yourself. It's not about making yourself miserable. It's about really giving yourself freedom. It's about giving yourself protection. And so I thought about five things that I think are at stake for all of us, and you probably have some other ones that are not included in this list, but I think for at least all of us, five things that self-control will protect is, number one, our walk with God, that every sin creates distance in our relationship with God, that when I move into sin, when I know what God wants me to do and I say, I just don't care, what does it do? It doesn't make God love me less, but it provides this distance between God and me, that I am drawn further away from His presence because I've chosen not to go in His direction. Self-control, it keeps me close to His heart. Not only does it protect our walk with God, but it protects our relationships. Self-control, there's words that you've said that you can't unsay. Self-control protects that. You can apologize for hurt that you've caused with a lack of self-control, but you can't ever undo things that you did with a lack of self-control. Trust is broken by a lack of self-control, and trust can be rebuilt, but the relationships that you value the most, they hang in the balance of whether you will or will you not be self-controlled. Not only our relationship with God and our relationships, but really our future. I want you for a moment, think of your biggest regret. The thing in your life that you wish, that you wish, that you wish, you go back and do over again. Not for all of us, but for many of us, isn't it true that that lack of, or that regret started from a lack of self-control? That there was something that I didn't control my emotions, I didn't control my passions, I didn't control my desires, and now I look back a year removed, decades removed, and I said, I wish I would have exercised self-control. Careers are derailed. There's opportunities that are lost. And some self-control ruins things to such a degree that there is no turning back. There's such a thing as I lose self-control to the degree that there are no good options. It's only bad options. And I look back and I say, I wish I would have had self-control. Our testimony hangs in the balance of being self-controlled. What is my life telling other people about who God is? I hold this, and this for me particularly, because I stand up on stage and put on a microphone, this one is almost scary to me, because I recognize that if I don't exercise self-control, then because you might look at me, you probably shouldn't, but if you hold me at like a higher degree or a higher pedestal, and that can damage your relationship with God if I'm not self-controlled. And the same is true for the people that you're around. That for some people, they're looking at your life, and they know that you're a follower of Christ, and if you choose not to be self-controlled, well, they have an image of God that isn't the actual image of God. They're looking at you. That somebody said that your life might be the only Bible that some people read. And so my ability to have self-control impacts my testimony. And then fifthly, our peace is impacted. Our peace, there's extraordinary peace, right, in not having regret. There's amazing peace in not having to hide things. There's amazing peace when I don't have to keep figuring out and remembering a lie. But self-control helps me to maintain my peace. And so we all know, nobody argues that self-control isn't important. Everybody knows that self-control is important. There's times when all of us look back at our life and we wish we would have exercised better self-control. And so the question is, what do we do with that? Well, how can we play a part in making sure that I'm exercising, because I want my future to be bright, I want my relationships to be healthy, I want my relationship with God to be strong, I want my testimony with the people that look at me and people that are examining my life, I want that to be a real posture of what God really wants. How do I partner with God in exercising self-control? Well, Galatians chapter 5 says it this way: if we live by the Spirit, let's also keep in step with the Spirit. I want to day in and day out keep in step with the Spirit. So really briefly this morning, because I don't know how long my voice is going to hang on. I'm hoping for, I need about 25 more minutes of my voice. If it can hang on for 25 more minutes, we're in great shape. So pray for your pastor this morning. But here's three things that we can keep in step with the Spirit, because the Spirit is who develops self-control in us, but we have a part to play in that. Then we're not going to wake up one day and suddenly have complete self-control. We have a part to play as we keep in step with the Spirit. Three things, and then we're going to be done with this series. We can keep in step with the Spirit by setting intentional boundaries. By just saying, there's certain things in my life, this is as far as I'm going to go. I'm not going to go any further. I want you to imagine driving up a mountain road. And on the mountain road, what do they have? They've got those guardrails, right? Well, you know what's interesting about guardrails is guardrails are not the edge. You could actually go a little further than the guardrail. The guardrail is there to say there's danger on the other side. When you're at the guardrail, you're not in danger. And so technically, you could go a little further. But what their wise people recognize is there's danger on the other side of that. And so I'm going to move back further than I would really have to, because I recognize there's danger. That's what intentional boundaries look like. Nobody looks at a guardrail on a mountain with this extreme drop-off and says, what a waste that guardrail is. You know, that guardrail is just keeping me from experiencing all of life. That guardrail is just keeping me from experiencing all of the fun that there is out of this. No, everybody recognizes, well, that guardrail's there for me. I am better off because that guardrail is keeping me safe. That's what intentional boundaries do. Intentional boundaries say, I know that I could go a little further. I know that I could maybe do some other things, but on the other side of that, there's danger. And so I'm bringing it back further than I would need to, because I know I need self-control, because I don't want to fall off a cliff. And so I'm putting something up ahead of time to keep me safe. Jesus said it this way. Hey, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of the parts of your body than your whole, one of the parts of your body for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. What is Jesus saying? He's not saying sharpen your knives. That's not what Jesus is not saying. Hey, let's go have some at-home surgeries. What Jesus is he's making a point. Be extreme. Take radical action to avoid sin. I love the Billy Graham rule. So in other words, Billy Graham rule, if you don't know, Billy Graham rule is that I as a man do not meet with you as a woman by ourselves in a closed off space. I just don't do it. Why? Just a guardrail. I'd be happy to meet with any ladies, more than happy to meet with you. Here's where it's gonna be. It'll be in the lobby right there, or it'll be in that office with all the big windows. Why? Because I'm worried that I'm gonna do something? No. Just a guardrail. I know that there could be danger. And so I step back. If you've got a problem with self-control with alcohol, probably the best place to meet up with your friends is not the bar. It's just probably wisdom. So Jesus is saying, where is danger in your life? What does it look like for you to take radical action on this side so that you find yourself in self-control? So that you find yourself making the choices that are gonna make sure that your future and your relationships and your peace and your testimony and your relationship with God are healthy. We've set up intentional boundaries because I know the thing that I value the most is more important than what I want right now. The thing that's the most important to me is more valuable than the thing that I want right now. And so there are some guardrails. I'm gonna purposely stand further back than I need to. So we can keep in step with the Spirit by exercising self-control, by setting intentional boundaries, but then we can also do it by renewing our mind. Because for some of us, all of us, self-control is not a matter of just physical things that we do, but it's also we need self-control in our mind, self-control in our emotions, self-control in the way that we go through life when the stress and the anxiety, we need self-control. That a computer, everybody's got a computer, you know that it can only run the software that's installed on it. So if I wanted to do a big video editing project, well, the computer has to have the video editing software. If you needed to do a big formula in Microsoft Excel, in order for the computer to do that, it has to have Microsoft Excel installed on it. It can only run what's installed. The same is true in our life, that we have a software in our life, and it is what is telling us, how do I perceive this issue? The software that I've installed in my mind, the way that I perceive anxiety and stressful things and unexpected things, I've installed things in my life, and that software, my mind, when I experience things that I wasn't expecting, when there's stressful things happening, that is going to kind of determine how am I going to work through that and live through that. Our minds operate on the thoughts and the beliefs and the patterns that we've installed. Some of us immediately go to anxiety. Some of us, the smallest thing in perspective happens and we're all spun out of control. We look back a couple days later and we say, why did that bother me so much? Well, there was a thought, a belief, or a pattern installed. Why did I lose my temper so fast? Thought, a belief, or a pattern was installed. It's all we can do. We just run what we've installed. If I've installed patterns of worry, that's what automatically runs when challenges come. If I've installed God's truth in my life, well, that's what runs when I face decisions, when I deal with things that I wasn't expecting. The Apostle Paul said it this way. Hey, don't be conformed to this age. In other words, don't just go with the flow. Be transformed. This word transformed, it's metamorphosis is the word. It's like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, that is a change from the inside out. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you can discern what the good and pleasing and perfect will of God is. This is the change that God wants to put inside of us. That when we all experience these things that we didn't see coming, when worry comes, when anxiety comes, I want to run. What does God say about this? The Apostle Paul would later go on and he'd say this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any moral excellence, if there's anything praiseworthy, hey, dwell on those things. When you think about your thought life over the last 7 days, would it match up with these things? Or did you automatically go to worry, anxiety, guilt, self-condemnation? The Apostle Paul says, your life is running on something. He wants us to be transformed. And so like that water filter that removes contaminants, we put God's word into our life. And as we renew our mind, it doesn't mean that unexpected things don't happen. It doesn't mean that things that might cause us to worry don't happen. It just means that I face those with a different perspective. I am self-controlled. I had it a couple days ago. This week, I kind of was spun up. I woke up just kind of on the wrong side of the bed. Anybody ever wake up on the wrong side of the bed? It happens to all of us. And I could feel myself kind of slipping down a little slope of just kind of having a bad attitude and a little short tempered and a little bit woe is me, a little pity party. I know that none of you have thrown a pity party, but sometimes I've been known to throw a pity party and I've invited myself to attend and I usually attend those. And I hit the pause button for just a second. I said, wait a minute. I don't have to let this ruin me. I don't have to let this ruin my day. I don't have to go the direction that my emotions are going. And so on my way to Colby, as I was heading to work, I just decided I'm gonna spend this 20 minutes just gonna spend it in prayer. Just gonna remember, what does God say? What does God think about this? What is God's truth about this all these things that are going on? And wouldn't you know it, the day started to kind of perk up. Wouldn't you know it, that my mood started to improve. That doesn't happen all the time. A lot of times I let myself kind of slip into it. But I remembered, I'm preaching on self-control this weekend. I ought to try to exercise some of that. And what do you know? Amazing. It's the craziest thing. It worked. What a crazy thing. It worked. Self-control is more about physical things. You got to be self-controlled in your mind. You got to be self-controlled in where is your emotions going. So we can keep in step with the Spirit by intentional boundaries. Go ahead and back up further than you need to. Go ahead and put some filters on your life that other people might see as extreme, but you know that my future, my testimony, my peace, my relationship with God, my relationship with others are too important, and so I'm getting back from the edge, some guardrails. I'm gonna renew my mind. I'm gonna soak up, what does God say about this? I'm gonna meditate on Scripture. The first thing that you do when you wake up in the morning, think about it. What is that first thing that you do? Are you getting God's word into your life? Or are you getting what the newest thing on TikTok is? Well, that impacts you. It impacts the day going forward. If you can get yourself grounded in God's truth before you start your day is gonna be better. It's not gonna be perfect, but it'll be better. Here's a third one. We can keep in step with the Spirit by developing responsive obedience. Now, here's what we're getting ready to get in the new year. Everybody's getting ready to think about, I should start eating better. I should start working out. I should start doing things. You know what would be so great? I just wish so much. And I've been praying about it, and God has yet to answer my prayer. It'd be so wonderful if we could get stronger by watching other people work out. Wouldn't that be awesome? That we could like flip through a magazine and see people that have gotten really strong and suddenly we get strong. Wouldn't that be great? But it doesn't work that way. You could exercise your knowledge of how to do exercise, still not getting any stronger. You could know all the lifts. You could know all the moves. You could buy the product. But until you actually put it into practice, you're not gonna get any stronger. You're not gonna get any better. Obedience is that way. That you've all come here this morning, so glad. Thank you for coming. Watch it online, open up Scripture together. What a gift it is. Do you know that won't do you a bit of good? Not, it won't do you the slightest good if you don't put it into practice. That'd be like having a workout magazine on your coffee table and scratching your head saying, why aren't I getting any stronger? I've got the workout book. I look at it every evening. It's there on the coffee table. And yet, my clothes still don't fit. What is going on? Nobody would do that. But you know, sometimes we think in our spiritual life, well, I attend a church. Why isn't it working for me? I mean, I was there. I sang the songs. Why isn't it working for me? Well, there's some obedience that has to go get put into place. There's something that we have to do with what we have heard. That when we say every yes to God and every no to temptation, it builds that spiritual muscle. That every time, when you wake up tomorrow, and when you know that God is saying, hey, that's not the direction for you. That's not the relationship for you. That's not the way you should be moving. Every time I say yes to that, and every time I say no to temptation, it's like doing another curl. I'm getting a little bit stronger. And maybe that next day, maybe I don't feel any different, but I know there's some work that's being done. Small choices today create a strong character for more difficult choices tomorrow. You're going to face some difficult choices in the future. You better start making some small choices today so that your character can be built. 1 Corinthians says it this way. I forgot to format this slide. No temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. In other words, that the temptations that you face, they're not special. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. That everything that you face, everybody else has faced. It's unique to you, but it's not unique, in other words. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with temptation, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to bear. In other words, if you are tempted, here's what he's saying, that if you're tempted in whatever area it is, could be pornography, it could be in gossip, it could be in the way that you think, whatever temptation, the reason that you're being tempted by that is that God knows you're able to resist it. That God, if Paul is telling us the truth, God will not allow you to be tempted to be something that is impossible for you to resist. That's what he's saying. And so if you're being tempted by it, you can resist it, and God will give you the strength to do it. That he's not gonna, in other words, he's not gonna force you to do something that you're not ready for. That if you get a good trainer in your life and they start working with you to get you stronger, they're not gonna put the maximum weight on the bar on day one because they know you're not ready for that. You're not strong enough for that. And so God says, hey, any temptation that you're not strong enough for yet, you're not gonna have to face. You won't have to face it. But there are some temptations that you are strong enough and you just have to be willing to say, no, I'm not going to do it. And it's hard. Well, those curls, sometimes they are hard, but you're better off for it. And if Paul is telling the truth, any temptation that you face this week, you can resist. And God will give you the way out. Daniel said it this way. Daniel, I love this word. He determined, very beginning, long before the lion's den, long before he had this huge life and death problem, determined, I'm not gonna defile myself with the king's food or the wine that he drank. Just a small thing, small thing. He started with something small. I'm not going that direction. This is a conviction that I have from God. I'm not gonna do that. What was it? Build up some strength. And then as we get down into Daniel's life, what was Daniel able to do? He was able to resist the temptation to not be faithful in his relationship with God when it was life and death. Why was he able to do that? He'd built some muscle. He'd built some strength. Could Daniel at chapter 1 resisted the temptation to not pray in open windows if he knew that the lions were coming for him? I don't know if he could or not. But he was able in chapter 1 to say, the stakes were small. I'm not gonna eat that. I'm not gonna drink that. Stakes were small. And what happened? He built up strength. And so when it was literally life and death, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not going to give in to temptation. Big moments of obedience are built on small moments of faithfulness. And so this week, when you're tempted, when you're pulled in that direction to say, whatever it is, yes to sin, yes to a thought, yes to whatever it is, small faithfulness, because one of these days, there might be a big choice of obedience, and it was the small choices day in and day out that are gonna give you the strength to do it. That every day, I'm just gonna say yes to what God set to calling me to do. Every day, I'm just going to say yes to, this is what God's calling me to do today, and I'm just gonna trust him for the strength for the future. I don't know what the future brings, but I'm gonna say yes to him today. You've heard, maybe you've seen the little video of the marshmallow test. You've seen the marshmallow test of these kids where they're given this one marshmallow and they set it on the table and they say to the kid, hey, here's one marshmallow and you're welcome to eat it now. Eat it if you want to, but if you'll wait, we'll give you two marshmallows here in a little while. You've seen the little video, it's wonderful. And the kids, some of them just eat it right away. There's no chance, I'm not waiting. Who doesn't love a marshmallow? They eat it. And then some of these kids, and then they followed them later on in their life, they resisted. They sang songs, they covered their eyes, they went to another part of the room. And the studies showed that the kids that were able to resist the momentary thing for something better, they had better life outcomes than those that didn't. In your life, there's some things that right in the moment, they look so shiny. They look so great. They look so delicious. But what's on the other side is better. What's on the other side is more important. Later is longer. Later is longer. Yeah, right now, it might feel great. Later is longer. There's some things that are at stake. Your future's at stake. Your relationships are at stake. Your relationship with God is at stake. Your peace is at stake. Your testimony is at stake. And so what you want, here's what I know about you, even if we don't know each other. What you want most is more important than what you want right now. The pleasure of sin, it's absolutely pleasurable. There's no question, but it's temporary. It's temporary. The joy of obedience, it's lasting. And so your future self is begging you, make the right choice now. Your future self, the things that you want the most, is begging you, do the right things now. Some of you that are parents, you're in that season of life right now because you've got a little future you, and you are begging your little future you, later's longer, and you're trying to teach them to avoid some mistakes that you've made in your past, and you're trying to get them to say, hey, don't do that. And they say, why, Dad? Why shouldn't I do that? After all, you did it. Why shouldn't I do that? It feels so right. And you, because you have the gift of time, the gift of perspective, you're trying to tell your teenager, you're trying to tell your middle schooler, just trust me. Trust me. Later is longer. That's what your Heavenly Father's doing. Trust me. Later is longer. Jesus, we keep our eyes on him. He's the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him in the future, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That Jesus wasn't controlled by the moment. He saw past that current pain into a bright future, and that's what self-control does. Self-control says, I know it's difficult now, later is longer. I know it's difficult now, I know it's hard now, but there's something in the future that I want more. Every moment of self-control is an investment, just like your money. Yeah, I could spend it on something now, but if I invest it, boy, it's better in the long run. Maybe it's worse off right now, but it's better. And so every moment of self-control, guess what? It's an investment too. It's an investment into your marriage. It's an investment into the relationships that you value the most. It's an investment into your relationship with God. It's an investment into your future. It's an investment into your peace. It's an investment into your testimony. It's an investment. And so two questions, and then we're gonna be done for the day. When it comes to self-control, and when you're fighting the choice of what am I going to do? Which direction am I gonna take? Before you do whatever you're gonna do, I want you just to pause and ask yourself these two questions, and then do whatever you wanna do. just go whatever direction you want to go in, but I want you just for just a second to hit the pause button and ask yourself these two questions, and then we're done. What am I trading my future for? What am I trading it for? If I say yes to this right now, what's the trade-off? If I say yes to this now, what's the trade-off in my future relationships that I value the most? If I say yes to this now, what's the trade-off to my peace? Am I gonna have to cover this up? Am I gonna have to remember some lies? Am I gonna have to kind of keep some things in the shadow? What am I trading it for? What about my relationship with God? If I say yes to this now, what happens to my relationship with God? If I say yes to this now, what impact does it have on my future? Just a question. And then do whatever you want. But you owe it to yourself to know the answer to this question. And then do whatever you want to do. But you at least should know the answer. And then here's the second question. Is temporary pleasure worth lasting regret? Just an interesting question. You've never thought about that before when it comes into self-control. I know that the only reason that sin is fun is because it feels good. I mean, if sin didn't feel good, nobody would do it. Sin feels awesome for a little bit. And then later on, we're like, oh, I wish I would have done something different. Oh, I wish I could have gone in a different direction. I wish I would have exercised self-control. And so, is this temporary pleasure worth the lasting regret? And that's an interesting question for you to wrestle with. Listen, the walls of self-control, they're not built in a day. It's like a city. One brick by one brick by one brick until it becomes a beautiful wall that protects what you value the most. There's some things that you value the most, and self-control is how you protect it. Choosing the momentary no for the longer yes is self-control. The Holy Spirit wants to partner with you. The Holy Spirit doesn't send you out on your own to do this and just, I'll meet you on the other side. No, he wants to partner with you. So this week, would you set up some boundaries? Go further back than you need to. There's danger out there. And so set some boundaries. Renew your mind. What's going on up here? And then choose obedience. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you do not allow us to be tempted in ways that we can't resist. But in every temptation, you give us a way out. And so, Lord, this week, all of us are going to be tempted in different ways, in different arenas of our life. And I'm praying that what we talked about today would ring really loud in our hearts in that moment, that we would pause in that moment of temptation and we would ask ourselves the question, what am I trading? What am I trading? And is the momentary pleasure worth the future regret? Lord, I'm praying that you would give us the wisdom to know what to do with what we've heard today and that you would give us the courage to do it. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.